Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you're joining me. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. Five-star ratings are appreciated. If you're joining me on the YouTube channel, like, subscribe. We are trying to get to 3,000. That's the goal. A new year, new goal. 3,000. Actually, that's not the goal for this year, but that's the next landmark. So 3,000 it is. We appreciate everything that you guys do in order to make this a success every day. My apologies for what might seem to be a blurry view if you're following me on Twitter or on Facebook. If you can tell, I am located in a stairwell. That's because I am trying to get service. Internet's down everywhere where I am, and so trying to get service has been really, really tricky. So I probably look blurry, but hopefully you can hear me. And that's the biggest thing, because obviously, you know, this podcast is on Spotify or Google Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from. So you can always listen there. Let me be one of the first to say happy Monday and happy New Year. It is a great time to start anew, start fresh. I know that many people make resolutions on the first of the year. And while I appreciate people who make resolutions on the first of the year, I am not one of them. I feel like every day you should be adjusting, that you should be trying to figure out what's the best mode. I don't think I have to wait until the beginning of a year in order to do so. Excuse me. That does not mean that you shouldn't. That doesn't mean that I'm disparaging any of you who do. I'm just saying, for me and the way in which my impulsive, like ADHD nature is, the moment that I feel like I want to do something, I'm doing it. Because if I don't, then it goes away. Like, if I don't immediately attack it, it doesn't just sit around on like a shelf waiting to be done, because there's just constantly stuff being put onto that shelf mentally. So for me, I have to make sure that I do that right now. I can't possibly sit around and wait in order to do it, because that's not going to work. Again, if you're joining me on some social media, you're probably seeing that my screen is blurry on your end. That's because I'm having Wi-Fi issues. Hopefully you can hear me as I go along. We do live in a microwave society. And because we live in a microwave society, everybody wants what they want right now, regardless of the situation. And now that seems to have trickled down to college football coaches. And if you're a college football coach and you're listening, or someone tells you about this, this isn't necessarily a diss, but it is a warning. It's not a diss, but it is a warning. If you are sitting back and you are waiting for everybody to do your job for you, then you are going to be passed by people who actually do the job. Not even people who do the job well, but people who actually do the job. What am I referring to? What am I normally referring to when I start talking about colleges? I'm referring to recruiting. Yes, there's a new normal. Yes, there's a transfer portal. Yes, you have access to more talent right now than you have ever had in the history of football as a college coach. There are so many talented players out there that it really is as simple as picking and choosing what you want, especially at the college level. The problem is you got to mind it sometimes. You can't just sit back and expect everything to be done for you. Now, again, this could be me just being salty because the world that coaches get to exist in now is different than the world that I was able to resist to exist in as a college football coach, as an assistant coach and a video coordinator. I didn't get the luxury of huddle or whatever video exchange program that you use now at the college level, which means that I used to have to break down film, dub it, put it on a tape, get in the car, and drive however many hours to go do an exchange just to drive however many hours back. And I'm not talking about like, you know, an hour away or 2 hours away. I'm talking about 6 and 7 hour drives in order to go and get video, exchange it, and then come back so that I could then break that video down and then make a billion different cut-ups for coaches who were never even going to look at those cut-ups. Some did. I know some did not. So I'm a little salty in that world. When I used to have to get into the car and drive hours to my recruiting locations, go to basketball games, go to wrestling matches to try to get up with players, to meet them individually, to talk with their coaches. I used to have to get prospectuses and write down prospects, names and stuff. I used to have to get those videotapes or DVDs. And I would have to go back or go to a computer, watch it, write an evaluation up, bring it. There was a lot of moving parts that went with recruiting when I was doing recruiting. So many of those parts don't exist now for you because the improvements in media has made it easier for coaches. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't have to do work. You still have to work. I see coaches on social media sitting back going, oh, well, remember, everybody drop your huddle highlights. Oh, make sure that you drop a perspective. Oh, make sure that you give me all of your information. Oh, make sure you give me your coaches' names. Like, are you going to do anything? Is there anything that we can do in order to help you more than what we're helping you right now? The answer is no. Sometimes you just have to do the work. You have to call a school. You have to talk to the coach. You have to ask the coach for the number. You got to talk to the player, call, text, whatever it might be. You have to do some of that work. You can't just sit back and wait for all of the coaches and the players to do work because, yes, you're going to get talent. Yes, that's going to happen. But you know what else you're going to do? You're going to miss out on so many guys because you just won't do a little bit of work. You're going to mess up relationships because you just won't do a little bit of work. If you're really going to do this social media thing right, where you recruit through social media, then you can't just put a post out there, have a bunch of people respond to the post, and then you never respond to any of the people. You know how many times I see drop your huddle highlights, we're looking for prospects, and then a thousand reposts or retweets or whatever come out, and I never see any replies? Don't tell me you're DMing people. Like, don't play me for a fool. You know that even when I did not like a prospect, if they sent me their film and I got a chance to review it, I sent the film back to them with an evaluation on it. Hey, thank you for your film. I really think you have some talent. However, I don't feel like you fit with what we're trying to do here at XYZ University. Hey, thank you for sending your film in. I think you have some promise, but you need to still improve on this, this, and that. Keep working hard, stay in touch. Hey, I really like you. I think you'd be a great asset to this school. However, we don't have any scholarships right now. If you're interested in possibly being a walk-on, I would love to sit down and talk with you about the opportunities to come here to play and earn a scholarship. There's so many different things that used to go into what we do that used to be almost like automatic, that it's mind-boggling to me when I see people come on and talk that talk. Oh man, nobody's sleeping on you. Sometimes you gotta think about something other than Division I. Oh man, you know, there's other programs out there that can give you a quality education besides a D1 school. Oh, do you wanna go and sit on the bench at a D1 school, or do you wanna come and play at a D2? You know the answer. People want to be loved. So when you say all of that, and then people drop huddle highlights, and then you go, hey, man, y'all dropping highlights, but y'all ain't doing this. Y'all ain't sending me no transcripts. Like, what? Come on, man. What you want from people? Ladies and gentlemen, if y'all tuned in this morning because you wanted to get some Antonio Brown slander, it's not going to be me. Antonio Brown does a good enough job of making himself look like a fool. I don't have to pile on. I call that low-hanging fruit. I'm going to let that man go off into whatever it is that he's going to do with his life. Cool. I've told you all before, it's about the sport for me. So I'm here for football reasons. So if it doesn't have anything to do with football, then I'm not really interested in it. So for me, Antonio Brown's situation is this simple. It's simple. Hey, I don't know what happened. The story that's coming out about what happened doesn't make any sense. So I'm just going to say this. Antonio Brown is a great talent. The Buccaneers won last year because they had a bunch of great talents. But they did not win because the offense just went ham. They won a Super Bowl because the defense did. That defense is going to need to tighten up before the playoffs, or it's one and done for the Bucs. It doesn't matter if Antonio Brown is there, Mike Evans is there, Chris Godwin's there. It doesn't matter. Leonard Fournette, it does not matter. If they continue to play on defense like they played on Sunday, they're not going to be long for the playoffs. One and done. So they've got work to do. They've got work to do offensively. They've got work to do defensively. But I'm not going to sit here and talk, oh, AB is this and AB is that. Man, I don't really care. I'm going to let all of you people who care more about like what the virtues are of players and coaches, and I'm going to let y'all guys be the moral police. I don't have any time for it. I know so many of you, because you don't like Antonio Brown, have been waiting to get your gun off. That happens all over the place. Heck, I usually can't wait to take shots at certain players that I'm not necessarily fond of, although I've tried to do it less. Because I realize how futile it is. I realize what I'm trying to do, I don't like it. Anyone's noticed, I used to take shots at Baker Mayfield all the time. Not so much anymore. Now I just tell you what it is. Hey man, Baker Mayfield, they told me that Baker Mayfield was this. This is what Baker Mayfield is. I don't try to take shots anymore. He knows who he is. I know who he is. We're talking football. Not talking personal. In the end, What we have to do as a society is try to understand that not everything is going to be perfect. So, for instance, with a Baker Mayfield, I believe, and I really and truly do, believe that there is a place for Baker Mayfield to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But Baker Mayfield is not Aaron Rodgers. And that's who they tried to make us believe he was coming out of college. When they reached mightily taking him number one overall. At the time, I thought that they should take Saquon Barkley number one overall. People laugh because they say you can't take a running back in the first round, let alone number one all overall. And my point was that, well, you know, when you have a talent, it is what it is. I had set up a scenario where they could have walked away of that draft with Saquon Barkley, Ward, and Lamar Jackson. They had that type of equity. Imagine the Browns. Now, don't get me wrong. Their backs are great. Nick Chubb's great. They lucked into Kareem Hunt as a backup. They even have a Dearness Johnson as a number three who gets the job done. But imagine them walking away with those two talents and putting that type of home run hitting dynamic at the quarterback position and at the running back position with a guy like Odell Beckham, whom they said was a cancer and who didn't do this and didn't do that and that he was making Baker worse. Only to find out, not necessarily the case. Imagine how good they would have been. But it's a microwave society, so we wanted it now. I was like, man, you know what? Look, Baker is good first year. Okay, cool. Second year, not so good. Doesn't mean you have to fire him. But, third year, bounce back, but different. No longer gunslinger Baker. Now it's managed Baker. It's you know, operate within the framework of this offense Baker. That's different. This year, that's three for me, one good. Meanwhile, some of you are ready to throw Tua in the trash can after his, and this is his first year being a full starter. Yes, he's going to have bad games. Everybody does. You don't throw players away for one bad game. Like bad games. You don't throw players away for several bad games. Why? Because they're learning. When you invest the first round pick in a quarterback, you have to give them opportunities to fly or to fail. You know that when you take them. So you have to be patient. You can't be stupid, but you have to be patient. Tua has shown the goods. So when he has a bad game, you don't automatically say we got to get him out of here because he had a bad game. You say he's got to improve. And if he doesn't improve, if he doesn't fix those mistakes, then you think about getting rid of him. It's a microwave society, and we need to practice a little patience in 2022. Because we can't have everything we want right now. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Dean Clemens. Thank you for joining me. Wherever you're joining me, break the show, comment, agree, disagree, whatever you do, keep it spicy. 5-star ratings are appreciated. If you're joining me on the YouTube channel, you know what to do. Till tomorrow, peace. Reception.